Grace to you and peace. My dear friends in Christ, on this second day of our series of sermons on 1 Thessalonians, and in the spirit of the theme of our seminary this academic year, I would like to offer you here a translation, perhaps better a targum of sorts, of large portions of chapters 2 and 3 from Paul's first letter to the Church of the Thessalonians. You may or may not recall that the targums are the translations of the Old Testament into Aramaic that were provided for a Jewish audience that spoke less and less Hebrew, translations perhaps dating as far back as the first century of our era. They were interpretive translations, as the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church calls them, providing both translation and commentary, not always in equal proportion. The freedom with which I have prepared my paraphrase for our text this morning would likely have made even the wildest of the targumists blush. So you may want to open the real text in front of you as you listen to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. To the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, from your preachers. Yes, we do thank God for all of you all the time. We thank God for your faith, which shows itself in good, solid work, for your love, which shows itself in the sweat on your faces and in the fatigue in your step, and for your hope, which shows its strength in the fact that you have not given up. We thank God for his word to you and your reception of it. We thank God that you became imitators of us who are imitators of his Son. We thank God that you are now waiting with us for the return of his Son, Jesus, who will come and save us. We thank God that you believe. And we thank God that you don't hate us. Yes, that you don't hate us. What must you have thought when we first came to you? What could you have heard about us that didn't involve shame or scandal? Surely we weren't the first preachers you ever heard to promise you their own brand of good news. There are all kinds of reasons to hate the contagion of error and filth and greed that infects our cities, our homes, and our minds in the wake of these hucksters of salvation. Answer the phone, thumb the remote, click the mouse, open the door, they're everywhere. So lost in their own error that they cannot see how they're taking you down too. So blinded by their own desire to get ahead that they can't see how they prey on the poor and the vulnerable. So clever in their own eyes that they can no longer tell the difference between cunning and cruelty. Why would anyone listen to anyone these days? What are the chances that this news could be good? That this salvation could save? That anyone, I mean anyone, could fill the emptiness of our lives with faith and hope and love? But when we came to you, you welcomed the message we brought, and you welcomed us. Thanks be to God. You are living proof. Your daily lives confirm it, that the welcome you gave us was not an empty, fruitless, passing fancy. Our coming was not driven by error, greed, or trickery. You saw that God had seen something in us. You saw that he had put us to the test. And if you think you've had it rough, when did Summer Greek ever knock you off your horse? He put us to the test. He blinded us so that we could see. We thought we were kings, and he made us fools so that he could make us children, his children. And when his clay had been kneaded until pliable, then shaped and reshaped and reshaped, stretched and pulled in the untiring strength of his hands, formed and fired, he approved us. He approved us, and he entrusted to us the only news with any real good in it, his power for salvation, the gospel of Jesus the Christ. What does it mean? What does it feel like for God to entrust you with his gospel? Well, let me share something that I heard from one of our brothers. He said that when our Lord began his ministry, people began to trust in him because of the signs he performed. But, listen carefully, he did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man. So what does it mean that God has now entrusted us with his gospel? Well, what else can it mean other than that we are his new creation? He who tests our hearts, who searches and knows what is in us, has set his seal of approval on us and entrusted the word of his Son to us. But what does it feel like? Well, your neighbors claimed that this gospel was turning the world upside down. They don't know the half of it. You saw and heard how this message had taken hold of us. From the moment we arrived, still bruised and tattered from previous battles, we began to share with you the only thing finally worth talking about. As boldly and freely as if one too many blows to the head had made us amnesiac about every previous stop on the tour. We didn't flatter you. We didn't cloak our intentions or mask our faces with a salesman's smile. We came because Christ sent us. We spoke because Christ has filled us with his word. We sought neither praise nor profit. We weren't sponges, we were fountains. We weren't looking for patrons, we came to support you, to care for you with all the delight that a nurse shows when she finally gets to take care of her own children. We cherished you like a father who knows his children so well that he can give each child the comfort, the courage, the guidance that that child and that child alone needs. How could we be a burden when the message we came to give you is the promise of freedom? We proved to be different because the word of Christ living in us has made us different. What does it feel like? It feels like every breath, every thought, every word, every act is held captive by this word that has been entrusted to us. You, who now believe this same word, now have it filling your lives. You could tell that the power of God's creating, transforming, saving word was at work in our lives then, so much so that the words holy and righteous and blameless could be applied by you to the way we lived when we were with you. How else could we urge you to live lives worthy of God? For all this, we continue to thank God. When you heard us, you heard God speaking to you through our words and through our lives. Ignoring the earthiness of the vessels, you drank deeply of the water of life. We thank God for you, our brothers and sisters, in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why, with so much to be thankful for, would we even imagine you hating us? Well, because the violence of hateful men tore us away from your presence, and the malice of Satan kept us apart. We brought to you the gospel that God had entrusted to us, and then, while it was turning your world upside down, we had to leave. Had to leave you alone to deal with all that this gospel was going to do to you. And look where it has brought you now. Think what this word has done to you who are hearing this letter. Dragged from home and family, many have had to endure great financial hardship. This word that has turned you from the idols of your past lives has not ensured your ready acceptance among those who claim to have known God all along. Your old friends say they no longer know who you are, and your new friends look upon you with suspicion. Life seemed so easy before this gospel came along, before we came along. And our telling you that we knew this was all going to happen may not seem very comforting, may not even seem very loving. Didn't we proclaim to you that Jesus was the Christ, and that that meant he had to suffer for all of us in our place? And that God raised him, and that through him forgiveness and salvation are now yours? How is it that you should now become imitators of his suffering and death? How we longed to come see you, to talk with you, to try to work through these things with you, and we could not. How delighted we were to hear from Timothy that you don't hate us for what we've done to you, bringing you this world-upending gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember us with the same fondness with which we remember you. You long to see us just as we long to see you. You, whom we comforted with the gospel, have now comforted us in our concern, in the persecution of our own hearts. You, whom we encourage with the word of Christ, have now encouraged us, becoming the proof of our preaching, the strength of our conviction, that this is the word that comes not in words only, but in power, not a human word alone, but a word of God. A word by which the Holy Spirit of God works mightily in the hearts of men. Brothers and sisters, your standing firm in the Lord is life to us. Life and joy in the presence of our God. How can we ever thank him enough? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.